We're going to memorize a couple of verses together from 2 Peter, and so you'll need these cards in just a minute or towards the end of the sermon. We'll talk about that, so just hold on to it. But it is a great joy to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, please. In my preparation for this series, I've done some reading, and it was interesting to me in reading that some of the commentaries that I read used a phrase that I don't recall hearing or seeing before. Maybe I have and just forgot, but it was interesting, I'd say 5, 6, 7 times in some of the books that I read, referred to 2 Peter and Jude as the dark corner of the New Testament. I thought that was intriguing, intriguing description of 2 Peter and Jude, the dark corner of the New Testament. And these writers went on to explain that because of the themes of 2 Peter and Jude dealing with heresy, apostates, false prophets, false teachers, that this was the dark corner of the New Testament. And that may be true, but the fact is in 2 Peter, there just are mountaintops of joy and challenge and growth for us as Christ followers. And there are times that our souls will be enriched and the joy of the Lord will be present as the Lord encourages us to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, there are some very ugly things in 2 Peter, basically chapter 2. 2 Peter is very dark and can be depressing, except we know the truth. And as we were singing the second song this morning, the song of the month for January is a song of hope and about eternity and a reminder for us that whatever happens in this world, that our home is in heaven and Christ is our joy and we will be with him forever. And we look forward to that. Now, the ugliness of 2 Peter, the reality is that after our study on spiritual warfare, we shouldn't be surprised about the ugliness in 2 Peter. But 2 weeks ago, I began my sermon with Jesus Christ loves the church. And as reassuring as that is, there is a reality that there is an enemy of God who hates us. And his desire is to destroy us. So we have to be on guard. We have to beware. 1 Peter, when we looked at 1 Peter a year or so ago, we looked at 1 Peter and we saw the pressure on the church was coming from the outside. 1 Peter was about persecution on the church from the outside. It may be neighbors, bosses, co-workers, or in Peter's case, as we'll see in just a minute, Nero himself, who would put Peter to death because of Jesus Christ. There is persecution, and 1 Peter speaks to us about that persecution from outside. 2 Peter, however, is about spiritual pressure, antagonism that comes from inside the church. Now, is this true of Lakes? And I'd have to say, not right now. It's not. But that doesn't mean it can't. That doesn't mean that it won't. But in 2 Peter, the pressure is from the inside the church, and it's false teachers, it's false prophets, and we have to be careful that we look at Lakes as we think about the church, but as we look at the church of Jesus Christ that is much bigger than the walls of this building, the church of Jesus Christ here in Michigan, our country, around the world, that within the church of Jesus Christ, there are false teachers, false prophets who are spouting heresy, apostasy, and in doing so, though, are attacking the Lord Jesus Christ and his body, the church. But I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to discourage you as we begin 2 Peter, because 2 Peter, there is great hope and there is incredible encouragement for us in the pages of this book. So, I have asked you to read 2 Peter. And Friday, the church email that went out asked you to read 2 Peter and gave you an assignment to do, to read 2 Peter and look for a key word, to look for a key verse, which we're going to memorize together, and to look for the theme of the book of 2 Peter. So, how many of you have read the book of 2 Peter at least once? Great. Great. Glad to hear it. If you didn't raise your hand, then you can't participate when I ask this question. If you raised your hand, I want to ask you, what is a key word for the book of 2 Peter? In other words, a recurring word or a very important word that we see throughout 2 Peter. Anybody want to offer a suggestion for us? What? No, you can't. Okay, Kurt said no, you can't. Okay, anybody else? Anybody? Here's what I came up with. I came up with the word knowledge. The word knowledge. And there are some related words. Know, known, knowing, but knowledge. Follow along with me. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. May grace and peace... That's good stuff. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's even better. Grace and peace poured out on us in the knowledge of God and in the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus our Lord, and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. This is kind of a... continental divide. Chapter 2, verse 20 is kind of the continental divide for 2 Peter. But verse 20, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled in them and overcome. Now, this is a very important verse, kind of the center of the book. And it's really important for us because when you look at 2 Peter 2, verse 20, you have to kind of scratch your head and say, okay, are these people redeemed or not? Have they repented of their sin by faith and are saved or not? And that's the big question in chapter 2. Who are these people? We're going to talk more about this at the end when I give you your homework for next week. Now, turn to chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18, but be growing in grace, be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this isn't something that we come to know and then we stop learning. This is we are continuing to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You say, well, Don, you changed the reading of that. Well, we connect that, verse 18, back to chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. where this is, our faith is growing, our knowledge is growing, our Christian life is developing in Jesus Christ. So Peter has stated this several ways: knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus our Lord, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so we've seen this repeatedly. Now, I want to take a moment, and I want us to think about knowledge, or what we know. Because the word knowledge in the Bible can be used different ways, just like it is in our everyday life. For instance, there's useless knowledge. Do you know what day of the year the Titanic sunk? April 15th, which is tax day. Is there any connection? For some of you, you may be the Titanic headed towards April 15th. That's useless knowledge. But there's practical knowledge. For instance, you ought to change the oil in your car every so often. If you don't, you're going to create bigger problems. That's practical knowledge. There's essential knowledge. Essential knowledge is, and having been in Florida doing what Ann was doing, do you know where the will is? More importantly, do your kids know where the will is? Does somebody know where the will is? That's essential knowledge. Do you know your wife's birthday? That's essential knowledge. Because if you forget your wife's birthday, you're going to want to know where the will is. But that's not necessarily what Peter is talking about here in 2 Peter. Look at chapter 1 and verse 14. Chapter 1 and verse 14. Since I know, this is just some knowledge, and it's essential knowledge for Peter. Since I know that the putting off of my body. What a phrase. The putting off of my body will be soon. Peter's talking about his death. And he knows it's soon. It's going to be because of his faith in Christ. And he knows this. And this knowledge has prompted him to write a letter. So this word know is important. And this word know is not necessarily connected to the knowledge of God or the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it's important knowledge. It was especially important for Peter. So Peter knows this. And Peter would be martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's important because that really, as far as the message goes, connects us back to 1 Peter more than necessarily 2 Peter. But 2 Peter, it's spiritual knowledge. It's not essential knowledge. It's not useless knowledge. It's not necessarily practical knowledge. It is spiritual knowledge. And spiritual knowledge has two directions. The two directions of spiritual knowledge, first of all, when we look at Psalm 139, it's the fact that God knows me. And speaking of Psalm 139, it talks about the fact that God knew us before we were even conceived. And these families who are expecting children are thrilled with the prospect that God has given them this new life. And Psalm 139, God knows us before we're even conceived. But this knowledge of God, God knows those who are His. God knows the redeemed. God has a relationship with us. Now, he knows everybody, but he has a relationship with us because of Jesus Christ. God knows us. But here in 2 Peter, it's not necessarily the fact that God knows us. That's important because what we see in 2 Peter is that we know him. So if I know the Lord, if I'm the redeemed, if I have repented of my sin and called in faith on the name of the Lord to save me, then I know him. It's not just that he knows me, but I know him. And so we are the redeemed, and we are growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me encourage you, if you use a concordance, either if you have a book concordance or you do it online, however you do it, go look up the word knowledge or know or knowing or known. Go look that up and you will see hundreds of usages. And let me just give you a few. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord, that's my awe of him, my relationship with him in Jesus Christ, is the beginning of knowledge. This is just the beginning. My spiritual birth is the beginning of my relationship with Jesus Christ. But fools despise this spiritual knowledge. In Hosea chapter 6, God says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Now, we landed in Metro last night. I texted Daryl. Daryl was gracious enough to come pick us up at the airport. Texted Daryl, and we did the whole luggage thing, get in the car, chat with Daryl. We get home, and there's a bunch of messages that came either while we were on the plane or whatever. There's a bunch of messages, and there were two from pastor friends of mine wanting to know if the Powerball winner came to Lakes. And I said, "I don't know, but I've changed my sermon. Now I'm going to preach on tithing, just in case." You know, the fact is, God desires far more than our money. He speaks to us about our money. And God desires far more than our time. It's time well spent developing a relationship with him. And God desires far more than just our energy. And that's the truth of Hosea chapter 6, that you could win the Powerball and give it all to God and still fall short of heaven. And that's the truth of Hosea. Psalm 119, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge." And this good judgment and knowledge is connected to God's word, which are called commandments here in Psalm 119. Isaiah chapter 40. We memorized this verse together a couple of years ago. "Have you not known?" Don't you know? Isn't it part of your knowledge who God is? "Have you not heard this? The Lord is the everlasting God." That's who our God is. That's who we know. And this is important because there are some people who will claim to know another God. But our God is the everlasting God. Our God is the creator God. And he is the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. Our God is not weak or slack. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and it is worth our investment of our resources to know who he is. Romans 8:28 is a familiar verse, and we know. It's part of our knowledge that for those who love the Lord, that's what Peter is talking about. Those who love the Lord have a relationship with the Lord. All things work together for good. Now, notice how Paul states it in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll see especially two times in these next three slides, Paul talking about this knowledge or knowing. So he says in Philippians 3, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything is lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. Everything I've had, everything I've known, all of my relationships are inferior. I count them as rubbish compared to knowing Christ, that I may gain Christ. And then he says that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, share in his sufferings. And Paul would. Paul would share in Christ's sufferings, and so will Peter. Peter will share in Christ's sufferings. James did. But listen, don't be confused by this. It's not just spiritual leaders like apostles who are martyred for Christ. You just think about the recipients of 1 Peter. It was pastors, elders. It was people in the pew who received 1 Peter. It was common, everyday Christ followers who were being verbally abused, physically assaulted, their homes destroyed, and their lives taken because of the name of Christ. And this is important. It's very important because of what we see in chapter 2. Look at verse 9. If you are being persecuted for your faith, what do you want to know? You want to know, chapter 2, verse 9, then the Lord knows how to rescue the ungodly from trials. Now listen, what's a trial? Because we live where we live, when we live, and how we live, you know what a trial is for us? When your shoelace breaks, when you're tying it to walk out the door and go to church. And that's not a trial. That's an inconvenience. A trial's not when your dog dies. Sorry, all you dog lovers. I grew up with dogs. We tried a dog once with our boys. Sorry, but your dog dying is not the trial. Peter's talking about people who are being persecuted for their faith, and specifically people who are being confronted by false teachers and prophets. But we've warped what we think a trial is. And sorry if I offended you about your favorite pair of shoes, but most likely I offended you about your dog. What's a trial? Well, let me tell you this. You will know it when you're in it. And when you are in it, you'll be glad that the Lord knows how to rescue you. He does. So what Paul says here, what Peter says in 2 Peter, specifically if you look at verses 5 through 8 of chapter 1, that this growth in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So the word know and knowledge is used a couple of different ways in 2 Peter, but here's something we need to see in verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Made known to you. What is this? Peter says, when I came to you and I gave you the scripture, I was giving you what I know. I was giving you knowledge that had been given to me. Now, one day this past week, we were at Siesta Key, and over here to the north was a family, grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, and several little kids, and they had a mountain of beach toys. There were buckets and shovels and those little cookie cutter things you can make molds out of sand and whatever, and these kids are running out to the water and coming back, and out by the water there was another family that was parked over here, and the kids would kind of meet in front of us, and so this kid comes running back over here by his dad, and his dad says to him, "Take one of your shovels and go give it to those kids. They're digging in the sand with their hands." So he says, "Go give them one of your shovels." And this kid looks at his dad like his dad just asked him to rob a bank. The kid's mouth drops open. And you can see this kid is struggling for words. "You want me to what? Give one of my 17 shovels to those other kids? But they're all my favorites." The thing is, in 2 Peter 1:16, Peter says, "Listen, I gave you what I have. I gave it to you." And the interesting thing is, when we give away the knowledge of God, our knowledge isn't diminished. If you give away a shovel, you're down a shovel. But if you give away the knowledge of God, you still have the same amount of knowledge. And Peter says, "Listen, when I came to you, I gave you the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Now, what is this? Is this Peter preaching salvation? Is this Peter discipling them? Is this Peter preaching and teaching to them? And the answer is yes. And when we take the knowledge of God that we have and we give it away to someone else, God miraculously uses that in their life. But it is an incredible blessing to us because we gave something away that isn't ours. It's been entrusted to us, and now I can give it away, and it can be a blessing to someone else. Now look at chapter 1 and verse 20. Because here we see knowing used a little bit differently. Knowing this first of all, or he says, this is of the utmost importance. This is the number one thing you need to know. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. So he says, listen, our knowledge of God is based on Scripture. We know this. This is essential knowledge. This isn't just practical. It's certainly not useless. This is essential knowledge. This is spiritual knowledge. This is the foundation of our faith. We know God's Word. And we know that God's Word is Jesus Christ. We know that from the Gospel of John. So we've been mixing what God knows, what we know, what God knows of us, what we know of God, and I've been mixing these up a little bit. But we looked at chapter 2, verse 9, when we need to be rescued, God knows how to rescue us. Look at chapter 3 and verse 18. This is the last positive usage of the word knowledge in the book. And if you ever want to know what to pray for somebody, pray this, that they would be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're ever unsure how to pray for me, what to pray for me, pray this. If you're ever unsure what to pray for your spouse, for your parents, for your kids, for anybody, this is what we pray, that they will be growing in their grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul ends the book of Ephesians with, pray for me, that when I open my mouth, I will speak with boldness for Jesus Christ. But look at the gentle words of caution in verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care. Be careful that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Be careful. There are people. And right now, there isn't anything I'm aware of in lakes, but be careful. There are people out there in what is called Christianity, people who call themselves Christians, but they don't know the Word of God. They don't know Jesus Christ, and they will say things that if we're not careful, it will wash out our stability. That's what Peter is saying. He says, you know this, be on guard, be cautious, be protective of the truth, recognize error, mark those who do not live by the truth or are being strong in Jesus Christ or rooted and grounded. So yes, the Lord will rescue the godly, but he will deal with the unrighteous as well. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. Knowing this, know this, first of all. Wait, didn't we already have a first of all? Now we have two firsts of all. It says, knowing this, first of all, scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. That's an interesting picture, isn't it? Scoffing scoffers who follow their own sinful desires. They're out there. Every once in a while, someone will come up to me and say, hey, Don, I got to tell you about this book. And you look at it, it's written by a scoffer. Be careful. Be careful what you read. Be careful who you listen to. Compare, wait a second. How many weeks ago did I ask you to read 2 Peter through? How many weeks ago? Two? Three? I asked you to read it three times. But I ask you to please at least read it once. Now, I don't remember who raised their hand and who didn't. But if you didn't, seriously, in 3 weeks, you couldn't read 61 verses one time? One time? Why do you think I asked you to read 2 Peter? Because I wanted to tell you what to do? No. I want you to know 2 Peter. I want you to know that it's the Word of God and it is the standard we use to judge teaching. It is the standard we use to judge teachers. You have to know 2 Peter. You say, well, isn't that why you're going to preach it to us? Yes, it is. It's like a hand and a glove that go together. You need both. You need to know 2 Peter to make sure that I'm teaching you the truth. You need this. And if you haven't read 2 Peter yet, you better by next Sunday. Now, we need to know. We have to. So I hope you will. But this is what Peter is talking about. We have to take the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors, the prophets, whatever they're called. We have to take them and hold them to the standard of God's word. We have to take their words, written or spoken. We take their words and we compare them to Scripture. We have to. If these so-called Christians are not righteous, we need to either call them out if we have the opportunity, or ignore them, or both. If they're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they're not adding to their virtue, or adding to their faith virtue, and to their virtue knowledge, if they're not, we need to hold them accountable to that standard. If they're not progressing in the Christian life, look at chapter 2 and verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14 is an interesting verse because it uses two words that don't seem to go together. Accursed, which means cursed. Cursed children. Cursed seems to indicate they don't know Christ. And yet children seems to indicate that they do. I mean, we understand John chapter 1, verse 12. So if someone is cursed, children, are they redeemed? We'll get to it eventually. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, basically, 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll find times that we look at these people and think that they're Christians, and other times we'll look at these people and know that they're not. And that does get a little bit tricky in 2 Peter. But this is the important thing. Do they live by the truth? Do they teach the truth? So, here's some homework. And you can do this all at once if you want. I want you to read 2 Peter again. And this time, I want you to look for the word know. Known. Knowledge. Look for it. Write it down. Write the reference down. What's Peter talking about? Who is Peter talking about? What is he saying about what he's talking about? And just read through it. Then I want you to read it again. You can do this all at the same time if you want, but my mind's not sharp enough to keep everything straight, so I did it separate times. So read 2 Peter and make two columns on a piece of paper. People who know God. Second column, people who don't know God. and read 2 Peter, write down the references, write down the words Peter uses to describe people who know God and people who don't. Write down the words, write down the description, write down anything you need to help clarify any of this for you. Now, let me just, in these two columns, give you some examples. People who know God, look at chapter 1, verse 1. People who know God have obtained faith. You see it? Look at verse 4. People who know God are called partakers of the divine nature. In verse 10, a widely used familiar word, people who know God are called brothers. In chapter 3, four times, you will find the word beloved. These are people who know God. Then, in your second column, people who don't know God. And I know this can be a little bit confusing, like the accursed children. I put them in the second column. People who don't know God. Again, we'll try and sort that out as we work through. But chapter 2, verse 1, people who don't know God are called false prophets and false teachers. In chapter 2, verse 13, they are called blots. B-L-O-T-S. They are called blots and blemishes. Later in the chapter, they are compared to dogs and pigs. Chapter 2, verse 15, there's a very apt description. They have forsaken the right way. Forsaken the right way. So we have two columns. People who know God, people who don't know God. And we're looking for the word know, knowledge, knowing, known, whatever. Then memory verse. Memory verse. So our key word is knowledge. I wish we had time for you to give your opinion about a key verse, but sorry, we don't. But let me just explain how I memorize scripture, and I failed to bring my verse card for this. But what I do is I take the line side and I write the reference at the top. Write the reference, 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Write out the verse. I only put one verse on a card. I write out the verse. Then on the back side, I at the top of the page, I write the reference. Then I write the first letter of every word. The first letter of every word. Okay? So, may grace, M-G. May grace. And peace, M-G-A-P. May grace and peace be multiplied. Okay, so you just take the first letter of every word. Hey, if you use another method to memorize scripture, go for it. But if you don't, then you can borrow this. I borrowed it from somebody I can't even remember. Then you put it in your card. You tape it to your mirror. You put it by your kitchen sink. You put it on the visor in your car, wherever. And then you pull it out. And this is what I do after lunch. I usually try to walk a little bit. I walk around the church inside since it's cold out. In the summer, I walk outside and I read the verse. And you read the verse over and over and over. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Just read it over and over and over and over. Read it 25 times. Sometime before you get to 25, you'll start getting it. And once you start getting it, you turn it over to the backside where it says M-G-A-P-B-M-T-Y, and you try to say the verse. Now, this is homework. I want you to pay careful attention because I'm telling you, you can cheat. You are allowed to cheat. If you're on the back side of your card and you come to a word you can't remember, why in the world is that T there? You turn it over and you look. Ah, yes. And you go back and you keep saying it over and over and over. And if you will do that this week, if you will do it probably 10 to 15 times a day, do it 10 to 15 times a day, by next Sunday when we quote this verse together, you won't need to cheat. So cheat during the week so you can pass the exam, okay? That doesn't work for you college students. You're not allowed to do that. But that's what you're going to do. So if you, we'll have more cards next week for you, and that's your homework for the week. And with a little bit of effort, a little bit of effort you're in your part to learn 2 Peter, it will make the preaching come alive for you. It will. So I hope you'll put in the effort. Let's pray. Lord, work in our hearts. In our hearts, first of all. Not that of our family. In our church. Teach us truth. We commit this time in 2 Peter to you. And now, Lord, help us as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. God bless you.